welcome to Product Hunt Radio. This is Ryan Hoover. This is our first recording, and I'm here with Sean and Furkan at Monkey Inferno. And I really wish we had this on video because this place is absurd. It's beautiful. I'll include pictures for everyone else.
You know how they say some people's face is built for radio? our office is not one of those, so I wish there was video as well.
Yeah, so it's this has been an idea that I've had for a little while now. We all like talking about products. In fact, Product Hunt itself was sort of inspired by just conversations with my friends and entrepreneurs and founders, and so I thought it'd be fun to do a little radio show, and so here we are. So do you guys want to just introduce yourself briefly?
Sure. My name is Sean, and I'm CEO of Monkey Inferno, which is an idea lab, so it's good for Product Hunt because we're building four or five products at once in-house at any time. So we take our own ideas, we build them, we take them to market, and we see what happens.
My name is Furkan. I'm one of the product engineers here at the Monkey Inferno. I enjoy the Idea Lab idea. I'm very excited to kind of be part of the team and moving along.
First, I don't know how people define themselves, because some people say Idea Lab, some people say like internal incubator, accelerator, whatever. There are many different words. But I love that model in general, in giving yourself the ability to just experiment and try a bunch of new stuff and then build like basically a platform and a team around that. So it's really fun. It's really cool. So you just launched Blab. For people that have been on Product Hunt, I think, was it last week?
One week ago.
Yeah. So you launched Blab, and Blab is the first of the kind of Bebo series of apps. Do you want to talk about it? What is Blab?
I would love to talk about it. So Blab is basically a video walkie-talkie. And what that means is we made it super easy for you to record a quick video message and send it to anyone, whether they have the app or not. And they can reply, and it's a back and forth. It's a communication tool. We thought, the phone was built for communication. And although there are apps to do almost anything you can imagine on the phone now, people still want to communicate.
Anything, believe me, I know that. I've looked at a lot of stuff on Product Hunt.
Exactly, yeah. Right. So Blab was our way of coming up with something new, something fresh for the phone to help people communicate.
We think, if you look at FaceTime and Hangouts and the synchronous video call, it's kind of evolved communication a little bit. You can now see somebody from around the world. We wanted to take that kind of theory a step further and say, okay, rather than both people being around at the same time, can you make it for the mobile platform, and can you make it quick and easy? And the video walkie-talkie concept is it delivers on that promise.
Yeah, I love the branding and the kind of style, and also just walkie-talkie kind of brings back memories of when you were a kid and you and your brother or your friends would just run around and talk to each other through walkie-talkie for no reason. But it was just fun because it was like a different way of communicating.
We were a little worried because we're like, do teenagers know what a walkie-talkie was?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's even relevant anymore, honestly.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We actually ended up, I asked a couple of kids, like some 8-year-olds that were running around the office one day, some of these kids, and I was like, do you know what a walkie-talkie is? They're like, yeah, stupid. I was like, okay, well, all right. So I'm like, I guess it still works.
So. Yeah. So how did Blab come about? Because again, you guys have been working on a lot of different things, and this was post Bebo acquisition, right? That you started this.
Yeah. So.
Or reacquisition or whatever.
Yeah. So the backstory is basically that Monkey Inferno was started by Michael Birch and Michael and Zochi Birch, and they were the founders of Bebo once upon a time. So they founded Bebo, they grew Bebo into basically like the third largest social network in the world, and it was acquired by AOL for a nice fat $850 million in 2008. And it stumbled from there. So AOL didn't know exactly what they wanted to do with it, sort of let it languish, eventually sold it as a tax write-off, essentially. And last year, about now 8 months ago, we bought Bebo back for $1 million. And so like you're saying, we didn't actually have the strategy of exactly what we wanted to do with it. We didn't even really know 100% what we were buying because we didn't have insight to the traffic data and the real usage and the state of the brand. But we thought for the price we were paying, it was worth the bet. And so that's kind of how this all started.
Yeah. I think you also did a campaign, I remember, shortly after you rebought Bebo. I forgot the name of it, but it was a video campaign, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, how PG is the product?
It's rated almost R.
Okay. All right. So then I think I can say what the video is about. So when we bought Bebo back, we knew what we didn't want to do. And I think we can, no offense to MySpace, but I think we can thank MySpace for that, because they did what you would logically do in these cases, which is you buy it back, you try to remarket it as something that's relevant, that's cool, that's fresh. I mean, they got Justin Timberlake on board. There were commercials. They spent a lot of money doing that. And I think that what we saw was people are not dumb, right? So if you try to bring something back that's not cool anymore, you can't just all of a sudden say, yep, it's awesome, it's cool, it's back. Nobody really buys that. So the first thing we did was we're like, before we even build the product, before we think about what the product is, we have to sort of reposition ourselves or sort of buy back loyalty. And how we did that was we said, let's be honest, let's be transparent, let's sort of poke fun at ourselves. Let's not try to say that we're the coolest kid on the block. Let's actually poke fun at how geeky we actually were. And the way to do that for us was a viral video that we came up with our friends, Rubber Republic. So shout out to Rubber Republic in the UK. We brainstormed a concept with them for one day and then shot the whole video over a weekend and then launched it. And the video essentially was poking fun at Michael's profile. So Michael, we went back to Michael's original profile. He was user number one on Bebo. And they had this feature on Bebo called the whiteboard. So people could go on there and doodle anything they want on your whiteboard, which was obviously an ill-advised feature, highly used, but maybe not in the best way possible. So there was lots of penis doodles all over Michael, the founder's profile.
Yeah, I call them dick doodles, just because the alliteration sounds better.
Right.
Yeah.
Professional. So the weird thing was they weren't even malicious, right? So a lot of them were like, it would be a doodle of a dick, but the dick had like the Bebo logo on it and like a Superman cape. And it was like awesome. It was like actually in a really good light. And so we thought that was hilarious. And so that's what we did. We sort of launched this video saying, you know, we're wiping the whiteboard clean, starting anew. But the video essentially says that Bebo was the largest collection of hand-drawn penis symbols in the world. And that went over super well. So
that's your next app, right? It's going to be dedicated to that feature.
Spoiler alert.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, this is breaking, guys. It's breaking.
I actually had kind of a different perspective on it. I came on post-Bebo acquisitions. I came on in August. So I wasn't a part of that, but I had the experience of being a consumer of it. And I'm like everybody else in Silicon Valley. Like anything that happened, you're like, nah, that's not going to work, right?
Yeah.
And so the one thing that was interesting was seeing the video when it hit the tech press and seeing it, it made you laugh and it made you chuckle. So you thought it was a serious video and then like it totally like worked.
Mm-hmm.
And then it made me sign up. Like I had no idea that I was going to be a part of the team or working on it or anything. But
oh, wait, so you signed up before you were
I signed up on Bebo.com because of the video.
Really?
But I didn't work here. I started here in late August and that launched early August.
Wow.
And so...
So if nothing else, for $1 million,
we acquired. Yes.
Yes.
We poached him.
Yes.
From his solo game development studio.
Yes.
That's a creative way of hiring. I like that.
Well, I mean, we didn't know, honestly, what would happen because the day we launched, we were like, this... It's like telling a joke to the world and just like hoping it goes up. Like telling a crude, vulgar, semi-vulgar joke to the world and just hoping they like it. Luckily they did because I think people are not used to like corporations speaking that way. And I checked this morning and we had now 797,000, so almost 800,000 people on the waiting list from that video, which is really crazy. We couldn't have expected that. So
yeah, and it's like, you know, being here now, like I know like it's literally just the video and the homepage that has driven that much traffic to it. And it's gone well. The sign-up rates are great. I think there was one A/B test done that Sean did on his own that like doubled conversion. Besides that, like we didn't even spend time to like optimize it. And it was like it's impressive that it is that big and there's an audience behind it. And it kind of showed like me, like I wasn't a Bebo user. I didn't, you know, like I'd heard of it before, but never signed up, and I didn't even know what it looked like until a couple of months into working here.
Yeah,
the old site. And so it was interesting to see like there is a loyal brand behind it. A lot of it was old Bebo users, you know, UK addresses, you know, big where it is. And so it's very interesting to see, like, the brand has some value to it. And I think the purchase, you know, kind of, for me now, with 800,000 people on the brand and everything behind it, seems like, at least very minimum, it was well worth the money.
When we bought it, we said, okay, even if people think it's going to fail or even people have no intention of coming back, at least they'll look at it. They'll be curious to see what it became. I give the example, it's like when you go back to your family, your house, after you've moved out, you've gone to college, you have a job. You go back and your parents tell you they remodeled the room. And you're like, what? You remodeled my room? Like, you want to go see it. And it's not like you actually want to go move back into that room with the, you know,
but you're curious.
American posters on the wall. But you are curious to see what you do with it.
Yeah.
And like with how much noise there is with new products coming out, that's actually very valuable. Even just getting people to skeptically check it out, that was enough for us to buy it.
Yeah.
And almost like, and beyond that, our goal from the beginning was it's kind of like with product time. where we wanted to, when we eventually have the product ready and we're ready to launch, we wanted people to feel like their friend came out with this. So like this likable, funny brand has come out with this. I hope it succeeds. I mean, that's what Product Hunt is too. Like being able to launch to a group of people who like are more, who want your product to be cool and interesting and want to take a look at it in that way rather than tear it down.
They get bought in. I mean, you know, storytelling is really effective when done well. It can be very effective in, you know, marketing and branding and all that. And that's where Bebo like has such an interesting story. I mean, sold for $850 million, rebought for $1 million. It's just crazy. And then to just basically scrap everything and then like rebuild it to something new, and then everyone wonder, what is it going to be? Like, first it's Blab, now it's going to be other stuff.
Right. And awesome. I remember I telling Michael, I was like, I'm so glad the purchase price was $1 million because it made for the perfect story, right? Like,
yeah.
If we got it for $250,000, it wouldn't be as interesting. I'd be like, oh, that was worthless. But $1 million still has like cachet in the world. So selling for $850, buying back for $1, I think it was probably worth an extra couple hundred grand just to get it to $1 million at the purchase price in the brand value that it then had.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting just psychologically.
Yeah. True. So now that you have around 800,000 people now on that list, what are you going to do with them? I mean, so you've already kind of solved, at least to an extent, like user acquisition, sort of. So you have some interest, you have some people that will at least take a look at your next products, but now what are you going to do?
Well, we have a seed base, right? Like, so there's the 800,000 people on the waiting list, and then there's 40 million plus emails of old Bebo members still in the database
that
will convert at some really pitiful rate, but it'll be not zero.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew that.
I mean, for me, like the thing that's the most interesting is launching an app on your own or two people or four people or whatever. There's a couple of things that are tough, right? Especially on a social consumer product, seed base,
mm-hmm.
right? So I mean, you can buy it; it's expensive. If you have the pocket for it, great. But it's expensive. You don't know what you're going to get from it, and there are random users.
Yep.
And B is in general, like I think our focus with the Bebo products has been was like another problem that you know we see with social apps is you come on this great built app. You know, team spent 6 months, 3 months, a year building this awesome, great-looking thing. None of your friends are on it. And these kind of two problems are both similar to me. It's a social consumer app problem, right? It's like not the best app win. It's a guy who solves that problem and gets beyond it win. So the 800,000 to me is a great seed.
Mm-hmm.
Shoots you out of the gate hard. You get great rankings everywhere. You get all that. Bebo brings press, right? So you have a couple of things behind it. And then the other side of it is, you know, creating a model for the Bebo app so that, you know, A, the product does one thing, but B, our strategy to kind of come out, follow, you know, has a plan. So seed base, press, you know, email list, like use all these bullets in the right times to see like how you can progress the product forward. So those things to me, like in the discussions over the last 4 or 5 months, have heavily been around that with the Bebo product. And I think with Blab, like feel very good about step one, A, from a product standpoint, and B, about, you know, kind of how we're coming out of the gate. But,
yeah.
So I'm excited for step two, three, four.
Yeah. Like we still haven't emailed the waiting list for Blab, for example. We just used kind of press, and we got featured in the App Store.
And Product Hunt.
What's that? And Product Hunt.
Yeah.
Actually drove quite a bit of traffic.
Really?
I was pretty surprised.
Okay, I want to see those numbers afterwards.
Yeah, I'll show you. There was basically, I think, somewhere between 700 to 1,000 hits to our like landing page from Product Hunt, I guess.
Cool. Sweet.
Which was useful.
That's encouraging. Cool. So I know that you, I don't know how public you've been with the Bebo Insiders thing, but I'm really curious. Like, this is
ultra confidential,
ultra top secret. Yeah, tell me about it. What is it? And, like, how are you? I know that you're using now your big seed base that you have with this Bebo Insiders kind of program or whatever you call it. But what is it?
So we realized a couple of things. One was, like I said, we wanted it to be where by the time it comes out, you feel like your friend made it. Well, one way to do that is to, you know, make videos and be likable and have a good Twitter feed. But like the other is to let them feel like they're a part of creating it. You did this amazingly with Product Hunt, right? You showed people mock-ups before it was ready. You got their feedback in. So where by the time it was out, they felt like a co-founder almost. And so we said, can we do that at scale? How do we make each person feel like they were a part of it and genuinely use that feedback to make a better product?
Yeah.
So we came up with this idea for a very simple app called Bebo Insiders. And we started moving people onto that platform. So from the waiting list, we siphoned off X number of people onto Bebo Insiders where they could see mock-ups of what was coming, just questions, polls that we had about how they used Facebook or how they used Snapchat.
And how are they interfacing? Are you seeing?
So there's a mobile app that they download.
Oh, okay.
And within it, it's very simple, very lightweight app where it's just an app. Inside is a Tumblr blog. So I can update that. I'm non-tech, right? I can update that at any time with any kind of content I want. And then there's a feedback button. So
including,
the app is
including GIFs, naturally.
Including GIFs, and especially GIFs, I would
say.
Because we have like 1 second of someone's attention, and a GIF is pretty good. So
Bieber pictures worth 1,000 words, GIFs worth much more than that, right?
It's like 1,000 pictures? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, there's some multiple there.
So Bieber Insiders are a way to get feedback, but also like kind of build a little bit of loyalty and friendship with the users over time and let them know, hey, you're listening. I mean, it's pretty cool that, hey, this company is showing me their plans from day one, not keeping it a secret from us. And then number two is I can push a button and talk to the CEO. Like I can just give my feedback straight to the CEO of the company.
So when they do that, does it email you or do you actually get it and email yourself?
We used a product to find Contour.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a live chat widget essentially. So they could just live chat like SMS.
Yeah. And I think that there were some restrictions that we put it on. We could have gone crazy with this, but you know, like in reality it was like, okay, there's an email list. It's kind of the old way to do it. How would you do it now? How would you do it on mobile? So we're like, okay, mobile app makes sense. Push notifications are great for updates, you know, on something that you care about. And the goal was get people who care about Bieber Insiders, not just as many people as possible. Because building a product, like, you can do it closed door. But in reality, like, it's, you know, the moment you talk to people outside of yourself, things become apparent that you don't know. And getting that feedback was critical. So the other thing was critical is don't spend a long time building this out. So we chose the fastest path. Tumblr blog, with, you know, hooked up into an app with standard push notifications and Contour for the feedback. And it was literally a big red button at the bottom that says send feedback. And you press it and it pops up and it shoots an email to us when a chat starts. And we go on and we can talk back and forth with the person.
In real time, do you talk to him?
Yeah, we could literally ping back and forth real time. It would send him a push. They would basically get that. They could just reply back. So it's like a little chat message.
That's cool. Inside.
It took how many days for you to build, say, the Android version?
It was literally basically a day, maybe a day and a half for the full piece of it. And
yeah.
A lot of that's because at the Inferno, we have like kind of modules that we can plug in fairly fast. Like, so push notifications, we can just plug in because we've done
We've done some work. I mean, the advantage of being here at the Monkey Inferno was, A, the tools already. When I started, the tools were at a level way more advanced than like even startups into their first year. So it was great to come into a stable environment on an engineering platform. And then B, like with the mobile initiative, you know, back in October or September, we decided that, look, we're going to do the same speed stuff that we wanted to do for the backend for mobile for both iOS and Android. And that was in place when Bieber Insiders came out. It was actually one of the first apps on our new Bonfire platform that we built internally for Android and iOS. And it was great. It was a testament to, like there's these standard things like push notifications is standard for every app we're ever going to build. You know, like having the user side or whatever. Like there's just standard things. And so, it just made it really easy to kind of put together.
So Ryan, I got a question. So you have a mailing list, right? You have a blog, you have a mailing list. What kind of conversions do you see going from, hey, you write a new post, you have some subscribers there, and you'll blast out an email to your following. How many, and what kind of conversion do you see going to the blog?
To my personal blog?
Yeah.
Yeah, right now, so my personal blog, since it is relatively small, maybe 2,500 people, maybe 3,000 people total, I get an open rate of around 50% and then maybe click-through rates around 15 to 25, really varies.
Right. And so that's like fairly strong, right?
Yeah.
Now imagine basically having your blog as an app, right? This is, I think, something that's going to happen, but like, why is there not a Ryan Hoover app that I have on my phone? And when you write a new post, I get a push notification saying like the whatever five things Secret did smart in their onboarding, whatever, you know, Ryan Hoover post, right? And I swipe that open, I read it, I can interact right back with you through, you know, the same type of thing.
Yeah.
But and you're managing it all because it's a blog, you're using Tumblr, WordPress, or whatever. It's just hosted in a frame. That's an app.
I think that'd be fun to explore. I don't know of any bloggers or writers that have done that. I'm sure someone has experimented, but I don't know of anyone that's pulled it off successfully.
I don't know anyone that's tried.
Or maybe not, yeah.
Right, like I haven't seen like anyone with a big following. You got Seth Godin, you get Noah Kagan, you get someone who's got a following, Tim Ferriss. Like, they should be trying to move off the web, or not off the web, right? It's not exclusive, but they should be trying to take what's working on the web and make it actually native for mobile. It wouldn't take very much effort. So that's kind of something I think we'll see within the next year.
Totally. I mean, there's a lot of talk about the value of email, and I strongly believe in the value of email in terms of re-engagement and retention in the long term. And if you just compare like Twitter followers versus email followers, generally it's like a 10 to 1 ratio. Like there's 10 times the amount of value in an email subscriber versus a Twitter follower in terms of like click-through rates and engagement.
Right.
And I would make the same argument to say that on mobile and push messaging, I would say it's a 5 to 10x increase over email. And that's kind of the thesis that we went down was, you know, like the number that I've seen previously and kind of what's happening with products is that's the place where things are delivered. And it also depends on the audience, but you know, heavily, like, I think, you know, push is essentially the new email for me. And the open rates and click-through rates are just higher all across the board. And on different platforms, you can do different things to kind of re-engage. So
yeah,
we see like 5 to 10x higher engagement on either SMS versus email or push notification versus email.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating. Now I'm thinking about new product ideas.
We're going to take a break.
Hold on, I'm sketching an idea right now.
We'll be coming with our own products.
Yes. So you're working on Blab. You just released Blab like last week, the week before, I think. And how much of your time is focused on that versus the other products that you're working on? Because I know you're working on multiple, because you have a team of 20, I want to say?
We have 24 people.
Yeah.
I think of it like having a baby, right? So like my sister just had a baby, and like as soon as you have a baby, like your whole world, like you stop sleeping, you stop eating, you basically give up yourself, you start working on the, you know, keeping that baby alive. It's your only concern. We've had some people here that work here that actually have their second kid, and what happens is all the attention goes to the second kid for the first amount of time because the other baby's in sort of a, they're 1 year old, 2 years old, they've sort of can function.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing where for us, Blab is that new baby. It's 1 week old. All of my attention day and night's going to it. But that's not the case for everybody in the company. So we have small teams per project. So our Blab team is 100% focused on that.
Hmm.
And the people like me or Furkan or one of our designers who work across multiple projects, we're the extra hands on deck for Blab right now because it is only 7 days old.
Cool.
I mean, yeah. And I'm actually on the second product for the most part. But like, you know, like Blab's on my mind 24/7. Like, you know, I like dream in Blabs now. Like, I don't, you know, don't discuss anything in text form. It's all Blab. And
you're like, sorry, I can't email you back. Blab.
Yeah, I was like, man, I don't have Ryan's phone number. I can't Blab him right now. You know, so it's like, we wanted to kind of like get that communication going there. But for me, it's like, I think from the mental standpoint, it's like all in on the product when you're kind of thinking about it and vision and just like anything. Like I see an interface, I'll go to one of the guys and be like, I saw this interface. I don't know if it's any use, but this could be a way we do X, Y, Z.
Mm-hmm.
And just use every opportunity for that. Got recently pulled into building Android Blab, so I'm very excited about that from a hands-on standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been kind of sprinting towards that and should expect a release fairly soon.
Sweet.
We'll make any date promises on air, but
we can always dub over a different date or something.
Yeah,
later
yeah,
on, so.
Just do that. it's exciting all around.
Cool.
And then for me, I love the 0 to 30 stage. So like the next product is like I'm super excited about. I'm not gonna talk much about it right now. But.
Yeah, that's part of the exciting part of working in an Idea Lab like this because you get to jump around and do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And to your point about like different interfaces, that's one. I'm sort of like plugging Product Hunt in its own podcast, radio show, whatever. But one thing I love about Product Hunt personally is that I get to see so many different products and I get to see so many different interfaces and unique creative ways of handling a touch screen interface or marketing or whatever. And to some extent, it's like inspiration, for what you could do in your own product or others. So cool. So actually, that's a good segue to like Product Hunt. So I'm being completely transparent here. This is our first podcast, and trying to figure out the format and everything. So what we thought would be fun is to just chat about our favorite finds on Product Hunt. And there have been, I think, 2,500 or so products posted in the past 4 months.
All right.
So there's quite a few.
Yeah.
And I was just scrolling through my feed, and I was like, wow, that's a lot of stuff I've upvoted. So who wants to go first? Sean?
I'll go first, yeah. So mine's going to be a little bit different than I suspect yours will be, in that my first...
And it can't be Blab.
It's not going to be Blab. Although that is a great app, go download in the App Store. All right, so my first... I have two, and they're kind of similar, so I'll package them together. The first one is when we did Home Screen 2014 on Product Hunt. Because I thought that was, although that's not a product, it was what Product Hunt's all about, which is the community. So all the product people chiming in, and you got to see... there's this thing called the Malkovich bias, which is that, you believe that the way you use technology is the way everybody uses technology. And even within a group of people that should be very similar, product people, designers, and entrepreneurs.
And just to interject, you asked basically everyone in the community, hey, post a screenshot of your home screen and share it.
Your iPhone or your Android,
yep.
Right? And you can tell so much about a person. And I was even doing a little joke like Miss Cleo on Twitter. I was basically yeah. looking at people's home screen and tweeting what I thought about, like things about their life. Like, it was pretty ridiculous. But I really do believe just by seeing someone's home screen, you can see a lot about what they're all about. And I discovered a bunch of cool apps just by seeing other people's home screens. If I saw the same app show up on a couple, I was actually convinced to go download it. So that was my first one. And the second one's kind of related, which was...
One thing I'll interject again, but there's this one person, actually, it wasn't one person that submitted their home screen, but it was someone that I used to work with, a coworker. I found it really odd. She actually left the entire bottom row blank on her iPhone, and she felt that it was just like more comfortable, like not to swipe over icons when she was swiping screens
right.
back and forth. I was like, wow, that's really weird. but it's just kind of interesting to see how people like customize their phone like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of OCD people on Photoshop. You could tell by just the way things are organized and aligned in folders.
Some people
like
color code them.
Color
code icons.
Or
yeah.
like leaving one spot open because their app is going to be the one to make it there. Like some really ambitious, like silently ambitious thing that
yeah.
they're doing to themselves every day as a reminder, which I thought was pretty cool.
I mean, I was surprised with two things on the home screen. One was there's a surprising number of people that like are too OCD to change any of it, which is like the fact that it's more like
it's
Apple
like
standard. Yeah, like literally Apple standard. It's like, okay, this is very interesting to me. And B was Shazam was on it way more than I would have ever expected. Like, I did not think Shazam was that popular or that highly used. And it's like, oh, this is interesting. You know, that was
yeah.
an interesting insight that I saw from it. But
and also that like for Silicon Valley, like you see just like productivity apps everywhere on the home screen, which is very different than sort of mainstream. And I think if we could get the whole world to do home screen 2014, that
would be crazy.
Hugely valuable.
Did you see John Borthwick's analysis and post on this?
I did,
they did
yeah.
something similar, and I think they got a sample of around 2,000 or so home screens,
right?
Which is interesting.
So that's kind of a good one. I think the fingerprinting of sort of people's apps I thought
yeah.
was most interesting for me. So.
So the product that I found most interesting was more of a personal pain point. Like my first company I started was an e-commerce company, and I like looking back at it, I was like, man, like I wasted like hours and days and time and like all these things that didn't exist. So there's two products that kind of like, you know, like been pretty key that I saw. I mean, one of them was Whiplash, the fulfillment service. I thought it was like a very clean interface, a very easy way to like manage the whole life cycle of e-commerce. And the one I saw recently that like basically nobody else on product kind of like even did the, no comment, very
no love
vote. It's like the only one that gave any love, but it's called Snappy Checkout. And basically it was like, it's a pretty simple product. It's a place where you go and you plug in your Stripe and PayPal information, and you could add a product and they give you a URL to, you know, link a product to, and it's just a checkout for that product. And I just found it very fascinating that, like, if they can take that a step further and say, like, add photos and kind of add, you know, one or two little things to it, it to me starts fighting a lot of the model of e-commerce, which is I need to make a store that in a store I have product. Well, what if I sell one thing? What if I sell four things? Like, what if I could hook these things up together, like Snappy Checkout plus Whiplash and, you know, Stripe, and now you have a whole, like, fulfillment service that you can just, like, sit back and hopefully, you know, plug into whatever. And so I think there's going to, like, e-commerce to me is the biggest biggest vertical that hasn't moved into mobile properly.
Yeah.
I think there was some stuff recently that I've seen that, like, only 12% of commerce happens on mobile. It's going to flip. It's going to be the other way. And I think we looked at it before, and I think it was even lower than the numbers were there. And so I'm excited about what's going to happen with e-commerce and mobile and kind of all that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at their website right now. I missed this one. But
I got
you
covered,
right? Yeah, you got me covered. All right. You know, I lose track sometimes. But there was another service, I forgot the name of it, that was sort of like white label drop shipping as well. And it's similar in that you can just set up a store and they provide the inventory and everything. It's just really up to you to market.
So Whiplash is basically that service. It was a fulfillment service that would do that. You send your products to them. They're all like skewed and coded and whatever. They store it. They keep track of it. When you get an order, it plugs into like all the default e-commerce sites, like Magento or Shopify or all of these. You just plug directly into it. When the order comes, it sends to them and they ship it out. They email a tracking number and everything. And so, like, I had a 3,000 square foot warehouse with, you know, 10 employees and managing their time. It was like the biggest pain in the ass like I've ever dealt with. And never again will I like touch stuff. Like, this is my new model. It's like, I don't want to touch anything. I don't want to leave the office. Like,
you're just
going to
blab. That's all you're doing.
Yeah,
now.
I'll just blab it to people.
That's what they need. Integration with Blab.
Just wait till Blab comes to Uber. Instead of like the driver calling you, where are you? He's going to blab you, and you'll be like, I'm right here. Boom, done.
I like that. Nice. So the product that I found a long time ago, this might have been one of the first products that was on Product Hunt, is it's called Momentum. Do you guys know that one?
Do I know it? Look at this tab.
Do you have it?
Yeah,
oh,
we both have it, dude.
That's nice. You got the moon today. I have the desert and the grass.
This a Ryan Hoover classic.
Yeah, this is perfect. Yeah, we sort of have you know, coin some terms for you. Explain a Ryan Hoover classic.
Ryan Hoover classic is like, you just see it and you just, I mean, I don't know how to put it into words, but it's like, when it happens, it's just like the stars have aligned and it's just magical and it's like, why was this like why was it not part of my life before? You know, that's a Randy Picasso to me.
It's
like
a product
that
you wouldn't have found. It's usually like free or doesn't really have a business model. It's just cool, right? And there's some like there's some pop to it. So I showed this to my roommate who works in a totally different industry. And he was like, "What's that? Why do you have a picture of Taj Mahal on that tab? What's that tab?"
Yeah,
and so
eye-catching.
I gave it to him, and he told me, he goes, "I don't know what this shit is, but he goes, upper management loves it." He goes, "I walk by my desk, and I'm actually he's like looking at ESPN.com or something, and he'll command T, open up a new tab quickly to like kind of block the view, and it looks really like impressive, and they'll actually stop by and be like, hey, like what you working on? What is that?'"
It's a conversation starter.
It is
totally. Yeah, so those that don't know, Momentum is, it's super simple, and it's just a Chrome extension. So you install this Chrome extension, and whenever you hit Command-T to open up a new tab, which I probably do that at least 1,000 times, if not more a day, I don't even want to know, it shows a screen of each day a different landscape, beautiful landscape from like a desert to forest to space, whatever. And it says, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, Ryan, whatever your name is. And in it, it has its temperature. It has a easy like to-do list, really basic to-do list. And then it asks you, like, what's your main focus for the day? And for me, I like it because, one, you get this new photo each day, and it's kind of, like, delightful, and it welcomes you, like, personally. It's friendly. And it's the only to-do list I actually use, surprisingly. And not because it's useful or special in any way. It's just simple. It's just a list, and
it's there.
It's in my eyesight every single day,
like,
1,000 times.
Okay, you have your to-do list, which is the stuff you got to do that day.
Yeah.
When you're opening up a new tab, you're usually like about to do something procrastinating, right?
You're
about to kill time on some site that you shouldn't be on, and you're reminded of it right then and there in a non-annoying way, I would say.
Yeah.
I also think this product has the highest over-the-shoulder viral score of any product that exists.
Word of shoulder?
Yeah, word of shoulder. So like literally you look back and it's like, look at Shashi, like, what is this like blue amazing thing? And like you want it. You know, like that's how this product grows. I think it grew here in the office. Like that people were like, is that on Momentum?
Yeah.
And then like now you just sucks. Like you see it like seeding outwards. It was like amazing.
I was sitting in the back of a Tradecraft, this is a couple of months ago, and I was sitting in the back and everyone had their laptops up and someone was talking and I saw at least 5 different screens of Momentum up, and I was like, I just watch it slowly. Like the next week after that, more and more screens happened, and it was just everywhere. So that's like 20 people are now using it.
It's worth like at least $3 or $4 billion, I would say.
Most likely, yeah.
In current valuation times, you know. Like.
Well, what I love again about Product Hunt, frankly, is that these type of products, which will never really make it, well, they might make it to TechCrunch, they might make it to like Lifehacker and stuff, but these are the type of products that don't need like VC-backed funding or a reputation to get discovered and get appreciated, and I've been using it now for, I don't know, 3 months or so, and I should see, I wonder how many impressions I have. How much money is that worth? Since you were in the advertising industry, that's probably a lot of money that they could be slapping me with, like, really terrible ads.
Yeah, they could. I mean, I do think it'll detract from the product, but I mean, like,
yeah.
Like you're right, though. Like, this does, like, you know, it doesn't need a server to do what it needs to do. It can work off of your base. It can it can be very nimble and neat. And I think, like, there are potential like, monetization opportunities, whether it's, like, I think API hooks would be great. Like, we've talked about, like, well,
that'd be cool.
The entire office at Momentum, and we all just, like, even just what's your main focus for the today, I think that's a great, like, thing to know about somebody, like, okay, what is Sean working on if I don't talk to him, if I don't see him? Mm-hmm. Having that vision there, so, like, whether they want to plug, you know, like, I think the premium model of a Momentum is something that they can make money on, where, like, plug into Asana, plug into, you know, this task manager, like, give some different vibes there.
I would love to see, like, my coworkers or friends, their accomplishments and what they've completed, and sort of each day you're like, Sean just completed XYZ, and it has, like, a fist pumping, like, maybe have some sort of blab integration where, like, you get to cheer.
Webcam fires up.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, something like that. I don't know. That could be fun. Cool. Well, anyway, this was fun.
We can't end here. I mean, it's product time. We have to come up with a product, right? Like, we have to leave this with product.
You mean the next billion-dollar company?
It's got to be a half-baked idea. No, like, this needs to be worth tens of dollars. Like, that's the bar I have set here.
Where's our angel list game?
We play this game at the office. It's a drinking game for techies, so you guys will like
this.
Oh,
nice.
So when you're having a beer and you're just chatting up and you really can't get enough of products, this is all the product hunt junkies, you guys will like this. We have these little cards, and on each card, there's either a company name, so it'll be like Postmates, or a like model, like a business model, like crowdfunding, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be like crowdfunding for Postmates. So you flip over 2 random cards, and you'll get that. So you would say crowdfunding for Postmates, and then you just ask the other person to like pitch it. So immediately the other person has to explain it. So they would say like Crowdmates. And what Crowdmates does is you crowdfund for someone to have to do a ridiculous thing. It's like a dare, but it's monetized, right? And you just make up the idea right then and there, and then you just move on to the next one quickly. And you'll be surprised. You actually come up with some pretty interesting ideas through this model.
I like that. Actually, so Perry is going to do an event, I think, next, not next week, the week after. And it's exactly that. So I'll send you guys invites. It's it's going
to
be fun.
Look at that. Came
game,
to life already.
Game going viral.
Yeah.
The other one that came out recently that I liked is your Uber LTV. So this is basically, I need, you know, whoever this dude who made Momentum app, I need you to make this for me, which is basically go scrape my Uber transaction history and just tell me my total spend. Because Uber won't tell me. And I kind of don't want to know, but
I did it. So I wrote some, so Sean did it and tweeted it out. So I'm curious. I'm not going to add up all these numbers. So I wrote some JavaScript to edit it for me. I didn't want to know the end numbers. I was at like 15,000. Uber spent like 15,000. So I was like,
I thought it was impressive. I don't know how anyone can spend like, you bought a car. You basically bought a car.
Yeah, basically. But it was so much more convenient.
You know, it might be more economical.
Yeah.
So what I actually want, this is like a legitimate want, is a Google Alerts for Secret.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean that's one of the reasons why people check Secret is, am I mentioned? Are people talking about me? Especially if you're well known in the press or tech industry, especially. So not that I'm well known enough, but I still want to know, is someone talking about me? Because otherwise, it's impossible to really know.
Now, would it be Secret style where it just says somebody's talking about you?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
You get a secret alert.
Yeah, super secret. I like that.
What about you? You got a dreamed up idea that you can give us right now? Do you need some help? We can.
It's got to be worth only at least
$10.
Tens, multiple tens.
Oh man, all my ideas are in the single dollar range. So, I don't know. I need some assistance, some
inspiration.
Something to do with coffee and.
I know there's a ton of coffee delivery stuff, but like I literally want a button that says "Give me coffee." Like I think there was an app on Product Hunt. There's a pizza button app.
I know the guy behind that one.
Okay, how about this one? So coffee. Okay, free about coffee. People like coffee. I don't drink coffee, but I also want coffee breaks. In the same way that I don't smoke, but I like the idea of a smoke break.
Mm-hmm.
So what's a smoke break for non-smokers? So how do you get me to have me as a average employee? You know, like millions of people employed all over the country. How do you get me to have a break? Is it like an emergency call button that someone's going to call me and I'm like, I have to take this, that I get to walk out of the office or some kind of like event? I don't know. I'd like to get
something. It's like the fake call app. Like you have an app on your phone. And you
Whoa.
Have a call. And you
Did you see
call.
Tickle?
Tickle? I don't see Tickle.
No.
Tickle is one of my, so it doesn't exist yet, but it's exactly what you described.
Have you seen a product that doesn't exist yet?
Yes.
No,
it was on Product Hunt.
That's a Ryan Hoover classic.
Okay, so I really want this app. So it's called Tickle. And it sounds weird, but what you do is you stroke your phone in a certain way, and it will then start vibrating. And so the purpose,
nice.
The use case,
stroke your phone and vibrating all in one sentence.
The use case is you're talking with someone. Maybe you know it's going on for a long time, or maybe it's someone you don't want to talk to, or like, whatever. What you do, you put your hand in your pocket, and you start stroking your phone, and then you go, "Oh shoot, I got a phone call. I got to take this. Sorry, I got to run this chat later." It's genius.
It is genius. I think there's a couple apps like that on the App Store, or on the Play Store for sure. Like.
Yeah,
but,
I don't know how they're doing it technically. I hope it exists. I hope it's not an early April Fool's joke.
It's actually, so they have like this is the HTC One. If you tap twice, your screen turns on. So it's basically you could hook into similar functionality.
Guys, I've got the idea. Okay, so you know how...
Are you sure you want to like spread this to the world?
Yeah, I need someone to build this.
Okay.
And we just
okay.
don't have the time here. So you know a lot of people use location or now like the low energy Bluetooth to
yep.
let you know when your friends are around you. Well, I'd actually like the opposite. I'd like to know when somebody is either not around me, when someone I don't want is around me, or better yet, this is how the idea developed in my head, better yet, when someone is around me, my phone goes off so I have an excuse to pick up the phone and not talk to them. So it's a detection for when somebody comes around, your phone will go off and you have an excuse to just kind of do the wave and walk away on the phone. So
I got my idea again. I'm sorry I'm interrupting you guys. So we've talked about this a lot. Treat yourself. I don't know if you've ever watched Parks and Recreation. So there's a guy, there's an actor, Aziz Ansari, and he has an episode where they talk about the Treat Yourself Day, right? The Treat Yourself Day is basically the day that you just pamper yourself, right? And so I want an app that basically, like, I go around and take pictures of something or just random things I want, and on Treat Yourself Day, it treats me to it, somehow. Whether I pay for it or not, I don't care.
I like this idea. Let me spin off here. Let me riff on this. So let's imagine you open this app and it's Tinder style, right? You're swiping left, right, and these are all products like under 10 bucks or under 15 bucks. Some budget that's treat yourself worthy, right? You're not going to break the bank.
I agree.
And so treat yourself is
because you deserve it.
What?
Because you deserve it. That's our tagline.
Exactly. Treat yourself because you deserve it. So these are, you subscribe. So every month you're going to pay the 15 bucks anyways. And you swipe left and right. That creates your wish list.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to pick one and just ship it to you. So you know how good it is to get a package that you didn't expect.
I like that. Now let me twist that a little bit more. So instead of treating yourself, how about you treat other people? So now I love giving gifts, but one, I don't know what to give them. It takes effort to buy them. I need to like remember.
Let me twist
to do
your
it.
Twist.
Oh, twist.
What
me
if
twist.
They tweet? What if you know? Nobody wants to give gifts to other people.
I do.
What if you want other people to gift it to you? So you treat yourself. You've already paid for it. They just get to decide which of those gifts you're gonna get.
Ooh, I like this.
And you get to do it for others.
This is going.
So that way, you don't have to do the deciding of what they will want, right? Like, or you don't have to sort of buy it for
That's
them.
True.
But you've already bought it for yourself. They just get to be the one who hands it to you.
I don't know if you guys do this, but I have an impulse buying problem. And now with all the local delivery services in San Francisco, it's like even worse. But in the middle of the night when you get these like Groupon pushes at like 6 a.m., sometimes I'll wake up and see something and I'll be, oh, I want this and I'll buy it. And I'll go back to sleep and I'll like completely forget that I've ever bought it, right? So a week later, you just get the package in the mail and it's like a gift to yourself, right? It's like I gave for future for kind of gift. Love it. And that to me is treat yourself. Like I want automatically to just give myself a gift. I'm willing to put a budget aside for my happiness. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'll pay 50 bucks a month. Subscription service, Tinder style, I'm game. Somebody build it. I'll be your first customer. Like, I'm already like, I'll give you my credit card number now. Like,
okay, let me get a pen. Cool. All right, well, let's wrap it up. This was fun. I think this went all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is there anything you guys want to plug, maybe?
I think everybody here should. If you haven't already downloaded Blab, I don't know what your problem is. I think you need to go to the App Store. I think you need to download Blab, and I think you need to start using it. I'm actually having a ton of fun with it. So that's genuinely, it's a cool app.
I think that's our primary way of communication now.
It is.
I think we used to use message me a little bit, email. Now it's Blab.
It's
Blab.im. Check it out.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, guys. And that wraps it up. So we'll do this again.
No,
thanks.
Thanks, Ryan.